Let's go ahead and take our Bibles, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Whenever you find your place in Luke 14, if you wouldn't mind to stand, and we will read our verses. Luke chapter number 14. Starting in verse number 25. The Bible says this, "And there went great multitudes with him," with Jesus, "and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Can you read that last sentence, that last phrase? Because we'll say that a few times. He cannot be my disciple. The end of verse 26. Say it with me. Ready? He cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me," say those words, "cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath," say those words, "he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And I trust that we have ears to hear this morning. Let's pray, and we'll get into our message. The title, as you know, is this, The Cost of Following. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear it is. And I pray that you help me to explain it in a way that's understandable. Help our hearts be open. I pray that you would do a work only you can do in the hearts of men. Lord, if there's one here that has never accepted Christ, has never accepted what you've done for them on the cross, that you would work in their hearts, help them to see that. And Lord, if there's one here that maybe has gone away from discipleship, has, Lord, maybe left following you truly, that you would help them to recognize that and get back to where they need to be, following Christ and living the life that you called us to. We love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen, amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you for standing. And so, I'm not a big fan of golf. I don't know if there's any golf fans in here. I'm not a big fan of golf. My dad and my brother, they did. They both loved golf. And growing up, they would play golf all the time. And so, they would go on their trips, and I'm like, no, I'm not interested. You know, I'm not interested in hitting a little ball in a little hole. I'll throw a big ball in a bigger hole, right? Basketball. But I'm not doing the golf thing, okay? That's for old people, that's what I told them. And not doing that. And now I'm 31, so maybe I'm ready for it, but no. But, sorry. So anyways, I was never good at it. But they would always talk about how fun it was, and they go on their trip. And so one time I'm like, all right, I'm doing it. It's obviously a great time. So I went with them, and they were telling me all the stuff, how to hold the little stick and how to hit the ball. And what is that, it's called? Is that the technical term, stick? Oh, club. Okay. And so hit the little white thing and into the hole. And they would tell me all this stuff. And I go, oh, man, they love it. I'm going to love it, right? And I get there, I did not love it. It was the worst, okay? And so I could never hit the little ball. I could never make it happen. I got to the end, and I decided, you know what? I hate golf. You know why I hate golf? If I'm honest, I can make all kinds of excuses and make fun of people. Really, I don't like golf because I'm not good at it, right? Because to enjoy golf, you have to be good at it. But once you get good at it, you enjoy it. But to get good at it, it takes a lot of time, doesn't it? And if I'm really being honest, the reason I don't like golf is because I don't want to pay the price it takes to be good at it. You can't just show up on a golf green and, is that what it's called? What's the first thing? The first place where you hit the ball. There's like a name for it. Anyway, whatever that is, you can't show up there and expect to like golf and expect to hit that ball and drive it down the fairway. Hey, that was good. Hey, it's not going to happen. Before you ever do that, you're spending hours and hours and hours at the driving range, right? And hours and hours. And then you get driving down, and you got to learn how to putt. You know, putt-putt golf isn't going to cut it. So you got to go practice that. All of this time is taken. And by the way, not to mention the financial cost, like the amount of money the man has to spend. I mean, my brother would save up for forever to buy some club and then buy another club and another club. And then you get there and they want you to pay an arm and a leg just to be on their grass. No, thank you. Okay? I'm not willing to pay the price it takes to be a golfer. Are you following me? That's why I don't like golf. And this, listen, my problem is I wanted the benefits of being good at golf, but I didn't want to pay the price it took to enjoy the benefits of being good at golf. The same is true of running, right? There's endless benefits of running. If you talk to one of those weirdos who run all the time, they'll tell you, they'll clear off 2 hours just to explain to you all the benefits of running. And then they're like, hey, you should go running. No, because I don't want to pay the price it takes. I don't want to put my body through that to be able to enjoy the benefits of running. If you just start running and you haven't ran, you're going to die, okay? You have to work at it. You have to get better at it and hiking and all that. But here's what it takes. It takes cost. It takes time. It takes money. It takes discipline to be good at running. There's a cost attached. And you cannot enjoy the benefits of being a runner without paying the price to be a runner. See? And on it goes. You cannot enjoy the benefits of a strong marriage if you're not willing to pay the price it takes to have a strong marriage. And develop a good, strong marriages don't just happen. It takes time. It takes development. It takes intentionality. It takes paying the price in the sense of learning your spouse and understanding your spouse and denying yourself some things to be a better spouse. You cannot enjoy the benefits of a strong marriage without paying the price. But I'll tell you, if you pay the price, it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. Well, listen, the same can be true of discipleship. Discipleship. There are incredible benefits of being a disciple of Christ, of being a follower, of following Christ. There is no better life than a life that is following Christ truly. There's nothing better than it. Discipleship is committed fellowship. Committed fellowship. It's literally one who attaches themselves to a teacher in order to learn a trade. And our closest equivalent today would be apprenticeship, right? If you want to be a good electrician, you need to be an apprentice of a master electrician, don't you? If you want to be a good carpenter, you first need to be an apprentice of a master carpenter. And that takes time, and that takes abilities, that takes discipline to be able to do that, to be able to be a good apprentice. And so a disciple of Christ then is somebody who wants to be like Christ. And Christ being the master, Christ came to die for us, yes, but he came to live the life we're supposed to live. And if we want to be Christian, then what that means is Christ-like. And if you truly want to be like Christ, then you need to become an apprentice. You need to become a follower. You need to dedicate yourself, commit yourself, cling to Christ. And that's how you become Christ-like. That's how you become a disciple. That's how you enjoy the benefits of that. And there's a distinction in our passage between the multitudes and the disciples. There's a distinction between the multitudes and the disciples. In verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes. There were all these people who were following Christ, maybe physically and maybe for a time. And the multitudes, here's what they were interested in Jesus. They were interested in him. They might have even been believers, but there were people who were interested in Christ. They heard about his miracles. They saw what he did. They heard about his teaching. No one teaches like this man. No one can heal people like he does. No one can perform these miracles. And so Jesus was doing all this, and people were interested in him. Now, that's better, I guess, in some ways than the ones who hated him, right? There's this big old spectrum. There were some who the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him, thought him as a blasphemer. Those who would have followed the teachings of the Pharisees, which was most of Israel, would have hated him, and he was rejected by most of Israel, outright hated and rejected. But then there were disciples who were committed and following and committed their whole life to him. But then there was this in-between called the multitudes. The ones who are interested, but they've not yet committed. Are you following? They're interested in Christ, but they have not yet committed themselves. They have not yet attached themselves to him in order to truly learn how to live his way. There are people who are living their way and then following Christ, but not committed to give up their way and live his way. That's the multitudes. I want to say this, discipleship is not the same as salvation. Now, they're very close. They're connected in a lot of ways, but they're not the same. Salvation is open to all who will come by faith. Amen. Discipleship, listen, but discipleship, to be saved, is open to all. Discipleship is open to those who are willing to pay the price. Jesus paid the price of salvation, didn't he? But the cost of discipleship must be paid by the believer. Now, you can't pay that price until you're saved. But Jesus paid the price for salvation. Salvation means coming to the cross and receiving Jesus. Discipleship means carrying the cross and following Jesus. You see? Salvation and discipleship aren't quite the same. Now, I will say this, though. If someone is saved, I can't imagine but that they have a desire to be a disciple. Are you following? If you're saved this morning and you don't have a desire to be a disciple, there is a problem there. Are you following me? Because anyone who's truly saved, anyone who knew that if they were to die today would spend eternity in hell, they knew that they deserved the wrath of God. They knew that their way of life was leading them there. And then they came to Christ and they realized that Christ paid the price and for their salvation, and they placed their faith in Christ. That ought to change them. That ought to make them decide, the way I used to live, it was leading me to destruction and hell, and now God has freed me to live a new life. And so you have a desire when you're saved. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature in Christ. Also, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And so something's different. So when you get saved, there is in you, as a child of God, a desire to be a follower of Christ. There is a desire, but that doesn't mean it's happening. Are you following me? It doesn't. You have a desire to be a disciple, but you've not yet committed. You've not yet been willing to pay the price. It's like a man who wants to be a good golfer but refuses to go out and go to the driving range. It's frustrating, isn't it? But that desire in you is going to be there. You want to be a disciple of Christ. You want to be a disciple of Christ. And if there's never been a time in your life that you've wanted to follow Christ with your life, I'm not here to question anyone's salvation, but you should be concerned about that. That's a red flag if you've never had a desire to follow Christ. Not that you've never, never actually followed Christ. That takes cost. That you have to pay a price for that. And sometimes it takes people years to build up the commitment to go ahead and pay that price. But if you've never had a desire, there's a problem. Because when a man's saved, they want to follow Christ. Yeah. And discipleship, listen, here's why. Discipleship, truly following Christ, is the purpose of mankind. It's the reason you were created. The reason you were placed on this earth is to follow God and live your life His way. How do you know that? He is the designer. He created it. He created all of this. And He created life to work a certain way. And so when He created you, He intended for you to live that way. You see? And when Jesus came, He lived the life that God intends you and I to live. And God loves His Son so much that He wants everybody to be like Him. And that's the purpose of mankind. True discipleship is the purpose, is your purpose for being on this earth, following Christ. God's the one who designed this life, and He designed it to operate a certain way. And to not, listen, to not operate the way you're designed is to miss your purpose. You see? It's to miss your purpose. Can I tell you, there is a price to be paid for that. There is a price, we're going to talk about that today, for discipleship. But listen, the cost is way more than worth it. The cost is worth following Christ. Listen, true discipleship is the only thing that will bring true fulfillment. True fulfillment. Truly following Christ, denying yourself and following Him, is the only way to truly be fulfilled in your life. Salvation gives you eternal life in heaven. Discipleship gives you an abundant life on earth. And you're all looking for it. We're all looking for that abundant life. Can I tell you how to get it? Discipleship. Following Christ, the only way. It's the only way. Now Jesus, his popularity in Israel was growing. People were amazed by the things He was doing, by the words He was saying. And the Bible says that there went great multitudes with Him. And the multitudes were interested in Jesus. And maybe after spending some time around Jesus and His disciples, maybe they had a desire to be a disciple. They recognized maybe the fulfillment and the joy in someone who's truly following Christ. And there are a multitude there, and they've been hanging around Christ, and they've been hanging around the disciples, but they know in their heart they've never committed. They maybe even believe Christ is the Messiah. They maybe have been saved even, but they know in their heart they haven't really committed their life, and they're watching these people, these disciples of Christ, the 12 and others, who have truly decided to follow, and they're seeing the price they're paying, yes, but they're also seeing the fulfillment. They're seeing the joy, and they might be in their heart saying, man, I want that. I want to be like Peter and James and John. I want to have that walk with Christ. I want to have that true fulfillment and the satisfaction of soul that they have. But I don't. I don't. And listen, maybe there's some in here that have shown interest in Jesus. I mean, you have to have. Why would you be here at all? Why would you even be in this building if there wasn't at least the slightest interest in Jesus? Maybe you've been coming to church for a little while and you've spent some time around God's people and you've seen the fulfillment and the joy that comes from being a true follower of Christ to being a disciple. And maybe you've been coming for a long time and maybe you're even a member of this church and you've not made a choice to become a committed follower of Christ. Can I tell you, it is worth it. You might be saying, it's not fair. Why do they get to have that life? Why do they get to be happy? Why do they get to be fulfilled and I don't? Here's the difference. They've chosen to follow Christ. And it could be this morning that you've not truly been willing to pay the price it takes to be a committed follower. Could be. It's worth it. It's worth it. A disciple's nothing. We might look at people that are following Christ and sold out for God and idolize them. No. It's not them you should idolize. It's Christ you should idolize. And they're idolizing Christ. That's the only reason they are the way they are. You can have everything they have. All you've got to do is make the choice. I will pay the price to follow Christ. Yeah. There's a level of joy and fulfillment that comes automatically from accepting Christ, from having your sins forgiven. But Jesus said He came to give life, and to give life more abundantly. Are you seeing that? He came to give eternal life, yes. But He also came to give life more abundant on this earth. You don't have to wait until heaven to live that life. You can live a life abundant here on earth. There's an abundant life of fulfillment and joy that you just cannot know until you decide to become a true disciple of Christ. And of course, Jesus wanted that for each of them. He wanted them all to be His disciples. Jesus knew the benefit of discipleship. Jesus knew that mankind was made to follow Him. He was looking at the multitudes, and He was, I'm sure, glad they were there. But what He wanted for each of them, and He knew each of them personally, didn't He? He wanted for each of them to be a true, committed follower of Christ. And I'll tell you, if I could do that, if I could make people be a follower of Christ, I would do it all day, every day. Jesus is the only one who could, and He didn't, did He? Jesus didn't make anyone follow Him. In fact, we're going to see today, He was pretty blunt about it. And He said, it's up to you. Follow Me or not. Well, what does it take to follow Him? What does it take to enjoy the benefits of an abundant life? Well, here it is. The cost of discipleship are three things, and we'll be quick about this. Verse 26, if any man come to Me, if any man come to Me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Cannot be My disciple. Whoa, that's pretty harsh. But Jesus is saying this. Look at, he's walking around, he's seeing the crowd. He stops and he looks at them. And he says, are you ready to follow Me or not? Because if you come after Me, here's what you need to do. You need to hate your father, mother, wife, children, all the things. All the close family. Now you might be saying, hold on, pause, wait. I thought God says love everybody. He does. And He's not saying to loathe them. But you have to understand, in Old English and Bible times, love and hate was not like a dichotomy. Like, hate is not necessarily the opposite of love. Remember, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Did God loathe Esau? Did He hate him with emotional hatred? No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like, oh, Esau, gross. That's not how God viewed Esau. But when love and hate are put together, here's what it is. It's preference. He chose one over the other. God could not choose Isaac, Jacob and Esau both. Hey, God could not choose Jacob and Esau both to be the next in line for the patriarchs. So God had to choose between Jacob and Esau. And so who did He choose? Jacob. And here's how God put that. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now yes, God loved Esau, but when you put them together, it's not a dichotomy, it's a preference. God chose, listen, here's the point. God, when they clashed, He had to choose one. He chose Jacob. Jesus is saying, when it comes between Me and your family, you need to choose Me. That's what He's saying. If you want to be a true disciple of Christ, if it comes down to it, and I hope it never does, hopefully everyone's on board with you following Christ, but Jesus says, when it comes down to it, if it comes between Me and your family, if you want to be a follower of Mine, you need to choose Me. Now that was a big deal for them. Family's a big deal to us, yes. But to them, family was everything. Family was obviously their source of, they enjoyed their family, and they loved their family, yes. But it was also their work, usually. Like, father and mother would pass down the business to the kids and all of that. It was their inheritance, it was their retirement, it was everything. It was that's where they lived generationally. They didn't really move, they would stay there. And so their family was everything to them. And here's the thing, where is Jesus? He's in Israel. And most of Israel has rejected Christ. And there were people in that crowd whose family said, yeah, you can be interested in Jesus, sure, whatever, but if you start following Him, you're not part of the family anymore because He's a blasphemer. You see? And there were some people in that crowd that would have to choose to be disowned by their family to follow Christ. Jesus said you have to be able to be willing to. Not, you don't have to do this. It's not like you have to go and say, family, listen, I'm following Christ, so see ya. You know, I got to get a divorce now because I'm following Christ, so see ya. That's not what he's saying at all. No. The goal is so that you can have both. And we have godly families who are all following Christ. But Jesus says, when it comes between me and your family, you better choose me if you're going to be a disciple. Now, you don't have to. It's just you won't be a disciple, that's all. You see? And you won't have the abundant life that you get from that. You can keep doing what you're doing and just be interested in me, but you won't enjoy the benefits of discipleship. You won't find true fulfillment until you choose me over even your family. And so we need to be willing to give up. Be willing to give up relationships to follow Christ. Because listen, if it comes between Christ and anything, and you choose that thing, here's what you have decided. That thing is more important than God. There's just no way around it. If you choose something over than God, God says this, family says this, work says this, whatever says this, wife says this, kids says this, husband says this, what in-laws say this, and I choose that, you have made a decision to make that more important than God. And we can't do that if we want to be a follower of Christ, you see? So we have to be willing to do that. The second one's found in verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so Jesus says a man has to be willing to even give up their very life. The cross is beautiful, as I've said this a few times, but the cross is a symbol of death. Jesus says you need to be willing to give up your actual life. And by the way, there are Christians throughout history who have given up their life to follow Christ. We call them martyrs. Hebrews 11 talks about that. We're not worthy of them. They gave up their life for Christ, martyrdom. Jesus says you have to be willing to do that. Do you know remember in Afghanistan years ago when America pulled out and left the Christians behind? And ISIS came back or whoever Islamic people came through? And they were going through, and here's what they were doing. They were finding churches, and they were killing the Christians inside them. Church after church after church after church. You know what the churches of Afghanistan did? They kept coming to church. No, listen, knowing that when they got in the building, there was probably the Taliban, I guess it was, that was ready to kill them. But following Christ was more important than even their life. You see? I just doubt that many of us would do that. Maybe we all would. I hope so. I hope I can say I would do that. And I hope all of you would say you would do that, but I don't know. I don't know. But that, to be a disciple of Christ, we need to make that decision. That I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. Some of us won't follow Christ if it's not convenient. Some of us won't follow Christ if people are going to make fun of us. But we need to be willing to follow Christ if it means the cross. I mean, how can you follow Christ and be like him and not willing to go to the cross? That's what Jesus is all about. See? Yeah. And so we need to be willing to choose him over everything. And by the way, I'll say this, kind of goes with it. If you read verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea. Well, pause there. And you might be struggling, like, listen, family, I know what you're saying, but I have to obey Christ here. It might help you to say, you know, not just you, it's me too. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what I feel about this. I will follow Christ. If it comes between your family and you, yeah, pick your family. If it comes between your family and God, you need to choose God. If it comes between your friends and God, you need to choose God. If it comes between your work and God, you need to choose God. But listen, when it comes between you and God, you need to choose God. Because it doesn't matter what anyone else says, it doesn't matter what we say. What matters is what Christ says. See? To be a disciple of Christ, we follow Christ. No matter the cost. You see? That's the cost of discipleship. The last one is in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. And so we need to be willing to give up our belongings, our stuff. We need to be willing to part with stuff. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons why we need to get rid of stuff. But we just, for sake of time, aren't going to labor there. But if God says, I want you to get rid of this thing, we need to be willing to get rid of this thing. We can't let stuff get big. If it comes between your stuff and God, we need to choose God. I mean, if we want to be a disciple, we do. You see? If we want to be a disciple. And so we need to be able to choose God over our relationships. We need to be able to choose God over our very own life. And we need to be able to choose God over our stuff. Here's the point. Anything. Christ comes first. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, Christ always comes first, no matter the cost. And listen, friends, there will be a cost. Always. You're going to have to give up some things to follow Christ. But I'm telling you, what you gain from what you give up is way more important. And you're not going to regret it. You're not going to find any follower of Christ who's following God and living in that life and has truly committed their life to God. And you get to the end of their life and they're laying on their deathbed about to meet their Lord. And you ask them, was it worth it to give that up? Was it worth it to give this up? Here's what they'll say. Yes, yes, yes. Worth it. Because following Christ is always worth the cost. Always. Now, why is Jesus saying all this? Well, because there are some people there, that the multitudes, and they were following him. And Jesus was concerned. Jesus was concerned that they thought just being around the crowd of multitudes was enough. And so he turned to them and said, no, here's what following me looks like. Here's what following me looks like. And he says this, and before you choose, some of you want to be my disciple, Jesus says. He knows their hearts, right? Some of you want to be my disciple, and that's good. That's good. But Jesus says, I want to warn you. If you want to be my disciple, you need to be willing to choose me above all relationships. You need to be willing to choose me over your own life and comfort. You need to be willing to choose me over your stuff. And if you're not, here's what you'll be like. And he gave two stories. We're not going to take time to go through them again, but I'll just tell you the stories. You would be like a man who set out to build a tower. And he wanted to build a tower. And he was excited to build the tower. And he goes and gets the stuff he has. And he starts to build the tower. And then he ran out of stuff to build the tower. And there's a half-built tower. And Jesus says that people come by and mock him. And say, you started to build a tower, but you couldn't finish it. And Jesus says, if you follow me, before you do, let's make sure you have the material necessary to be a disciple of mine. The material necessary is being willing to choose me, being willing. You don't have to give everything up. You just have to be willing to give everything up for me. Make sure you're there before you follow. And then he gave another story about a king who went into battle. And he didn't see if his army was big enough to take care of the other army. And he goes into battle. You know, you can do that a couple of times and maybe win some battles, but you better make sure you know how much is in your army, because there's going to come a time when you fight someone whose bad army is bigger than yours. And Jesus says, and you'll send an emissage and desire conditions of peace, and you'd have to give up. See? You'd have to give up. You have to wave the white flag. And that would be embarrassing. Listen, here's what that would be. It'd be frustrating. Because you go into battle, you're excited to fight this battle, and then you get wiped. And it's frustrating. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of Christians who I believe in their heart desire to follow Christ. And they want to be all in for Christ. And they see disciples of Christ who have paid the cost, and they want what they have. And they see it, and they're reaching, and they're reaching, and they want it so bad. But they won't let go of their life. And it's frustrating because you're like, it's right there. Why can't I have it? It's right there. God said I could have it. Why can't I have it? They have it. Why can't I have it? It's because you won't let go. Once you let go, you can have it. Jesus said, didn't he? He who will keep his life will lose it. Yeah, you can keep your life, but you won't have the life I have for you. But he says, he that will lose his life will find it. Real life. Not this phony life where we're playing games with God and hoping that we find fulfillment and going from this to that to that. And I'm not happy because of this. I'm not happy because of that. I'm not happy because of that. And we won't let go of our life and we're trying to find happiness. But happiness is right there. And you're not going to find fulfillment. You're not going to find true happiness. You're not going to find true joy until you let go of that. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But it could be this morning that you're living a frustrated life. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to live for God and not being willing to give up your life. You can't live both lives. You can't live the life you want and the life God wants. You don't want what you want. If you follow what you want, it's going to lead to a place you don't understand. It's not going to be awesome. You want what God wants. That's what you really want. That's what you really want. But if you're going to get what God wants, you really need to let go of what you think you want. Are you following me? God knows best. And when you follow Him, at first it seems weird. It seems like, oh man, I don't know. If I give this up, I don't know. What's that look like? Well, Jesus, you just need to trust Him. His life is best. I promise you that. And there is nobody who let go of their life and follow Christ that regrets it today. Nobody. There are a lot of people who regret spending their entire life grasping on whatever it is, unwilling to pay the price and let go. And they regret it because they lived their whole life. And in the moment, there's Christians who've been Christians for 20, 30 years who have finally let go, and they're enjoying the benefits of discipleship, of being fully right with God, surrendered to God, and God's doing amazing things in their life. And you know what their biggest regret is? I should have let go sooner. But I kept convincing myself I needed this. But really, you don't need this. You need this. You need to let go of that. See? Whatever it is. If you're here today, it might be your eternity. And you know you need to be saved this morning. You know you need to be saved. You know you're lost. You know your sins are many. You know that you deserve hell forever. And you know that you need Christ's blood to pay for your sins. But you will not humble yourself enough to ask Him. You will not walk down. You will not humble yourself before God and ask. Jesus says, here's all it takes. Just ask. But it's not as easy as that, is it? You've got to repent of your way and turn to God's way. Admit that your way is wrong and leading you to hell, and God's way is leading to life. You need to admit that you deserve God's wrath before you're able to have those sins forgiven. See? So let go of that. It's not worth it. It's not worth your soul. But many in here are saved and have just not let go. Let go. Let go. Follow Christ. Deny yourself and follow Him. It is worth it. Listen, campers, God's going to do a lot in your heart this week. God wants to grow you. God wants to do some things in you. But God cannot lead you that way until you let go. Let's enter camp that way. Camp will be a whole lot better if you just give up right now and then let God work at camp. Or you can wait a day and a half and be miserable and frustrated and then finally let go and enjoy the last 2 or 3 days. Let's let go now. But camp is not the only place we need to let go. We need to all let go of our life. Deny ourselves. What you want doesn't matter. Sorry. What you think doesn't matter. What you like doesn't matter. What matters is what Christ says. And when you follow Him, you'll be shocked to find He knew better than you. Following Christ is worth the cost. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son who came and died for us. Thank you that He came to save us from our sin, but also to save us from our life that we're living. God, you know our way. You know the wickedness of our heart. You know our frailty. you know our way just leads to destruction. I'm thankful that you've given us a new path, that we can follow you and enjoy the abundant life you so desperately want for us. And if there's anyone in here this morning that has just not made that decision, that they would do that today. Lord, if there's any in here that aren't saved and have never had their sins forgiven and they know they need to, they've just not done it, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to let go of that. And Lord, have their reach out to you, call out to you, that their sins can be forgiven and they can start this journey of truly following you. Lord, we love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh is going to